1039 LI News Radio. Follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and listen live 24/7 at linewsradio.com.
It is now a time for the Craig James Financial Report with the great Craig Ferrantino. He's a certified wealth strategist, president of the Craig James Financial Services. Craig's been in the business over 30 years, and certainly the best of what he does. Craig James Financial Services is located right on Broad Hollow Road in Melville. Call 393-2888, and you can check it all out on the great website, longislandinvestmentadvisors.com. The aforementioned Mr. Ferrantino. Craig, how are you, sir? On a cold Monday. Great to have you with us, though.
Good morning, Jay. Yes, very cold.
Indeed. So a nice couple of numbers throughout the week. I like at the close on the Dow, around 336 points. And what is it, 24,705 or 6 or so, or thereabouts on the final number there. But the S&P climbed 1.3, NASDAQ composite added 1%. Overall, a nice way to end.
Yeah, the this whole market ends the really has the fourth consecutive week. Now, I want to say one of the things, one of those chyrons that you see on the bottom of the TV. So stocks rose for the fourth consecutive week. Here we go. Ready? The longest stretch of gains since August of 2018. You see how, you know, you can let everybody can look at statistics, and that's a positive way of looking at the statistics. They also like worst December since the Great Depression, the longest stretch of gains since August of 2018. Really, the focus started to shift to corporate earnings with really some of these banks were reporting quarterly earnings and coming with very good numbers. You know, as the banks go, sometimes so does the market. You know, when the bank sneezes, the market has a cold. And the banks are very important to our economy. And they've reported positive earnings. And the earnings are really better than people expected. And, you know, a lot of the teams about the outlook, you know, the management teams, let's say Bank of America, the management team at J.P. Morgan, really was saying some positive forward-looking statements. And so the financial services sector is one sector out of all the sectors, out of about 11 major sectors, really outperformed the broader market. So it's really that sector alone is probably up 6% for the week. So, that's our biggest, that's the biggest, I think, area. You started to see oil pick up, as we've been talking. If it gets cold in the Northeast, you'll see the price of oil go up because the demand will be higher. So that was probably a second sector that's looked up positive. And then, there are some other reports that that Chinese efforts to really stimulate their economy, and they're willing to take steps to reduce. They have these huge. They end up with this huge trade surplus because we're trading less with them, and so now they got a lot of stuff sitting in warehouses in China, and so now that they started to get a backlog, they're doing what they can to make sure that they could talk to the United States and sort of remove that and get a trade deal, and that's always positive on the market. Still hanging out there, as you know, is Brexit still out there and people are not so sure. Let me go through some specific numbers, though. Like you started, the Dow Jones is 24,706. That was up 336 points on Friday. For the week, it really was up 710 points, almost the 3% to the positive. You look at the S&P 500, it's about 2.87 to the positive, and up 74, almost 75 points for the week. Then you start to see some strong sectors again, like banks. Banks was up 7.5%, and very few negative. The only thing negative for the week was really gold was down about 5% for the week. So you're starting to look at people not worried about it. They're more excited about the economy. They don't feel they need to go into safety, things like gold and silver. When you start to see the advanced decline line, you start to see 2,219 on the New York Stock Exchange and 774 decline. That line's become a lot more positive. So it's one of the things that we look at. And some of the worst, of all the regions and areas that we're looking at, you're starting to see the people who are betting against the bull. If you were betting against the bull, you lost probably 10% for the week. So you'll see that. And people that are betting for the bull, meaning things are going to go up, I'm starting to see some very good numbers. Overall, economy looks healthy, like we said. Unemployment looks good. This is just a good time to reposition the portfolios to some more of this positive news as we put December behind us. You want to buy low, sell high. It's a good time to get in. A lot of people also look at that 30-year mortgage. The yields, it's been as high as 5%. That's back down to 4.5%. And the 15-year mortgage is around 3.88%. So also a good time if you're looking to buy a house again. Some very good economic moves, very good week, good month of January, best rally since last August, and a lot of good to say here.
Craig Ferrantino with us, Craig James Financial. It's amazing. You and I speak about this all the time when you have China thrown in the mix, and I think tensions are eased somewhat. I think a lot of investors are a little bit more hopeful when they see this overall trade war kind of easing, as you mentioned, with China's government offering to buy more goods and services now from the U.S., potentially eliminating its trade deficit, by the way, in the next 4 years or so. But those are positive signs. And then if you throw into the equation, Craig, the Federal Reserve, that'll be patient. Jerry Powell will be quite patient, it seems, when considering future interest rate hikes. It's amazing. You lay down on the couch and trying to calm the waters, with a Wall Street psychologist, and everybody's a little bit more, subtle in their approach before panicking. Thus, you see a pretty good week. Yeah, those two things, Federal Reserve and China, always add to the mix in a positive way. You're going to see good results, huh?
Yes, well, we all have this thing hanging over us. The biggest one is China, and I think that you're starting to see it's just enormous, the amount of items that are trading between the two countries and the different areas, from technology to industrial to even banking and insurance. There's a lot that goes on between the two countries, and when you start to see that, as things are starting to calm down a little bit in that area, you'll see the Dow and the S&P, I think, would be very bullish. A lot of people are talking, as soon as you get some bad days there, particularly monthly, they're saying, hey, look, we got a recession coming up, and it's hard to see a recession when you have some of the lowest unemployment in 50 years, and, you start to see some of these strong numbers. So, this week, the earnings season will probably start to begin. You'll see 59 companies from the S&P 500, or just about 10%, will report their fourth quarter earnings this week. So we're keeping an eye on that and some of the other things that we get this week. Otherwise, it's a slow week for what indicators in the market. But when you get these things behind us, you start to see you're going to start to see even more of a snap to the forward. One of the numbers that came out last week, Jay, was something where I'm trying to see if I could find that. But people who save, you're starting to see people are able to save more. Household savings rate. Fast 4 years, household savings rate has averaged 6.8% compared to 3.6% from the period between 2004 to 2007. People actually have a lot more of a financial buffer and more money in their pockets than they did even just a couple years ago. And that's due to, faster wage growth and really lower gasoline prices. So people have more money in the pockets, which is what we've been saying, but now it's been quantified. And when you have that, people you know, now you can have the choice of saving and investing, which is great, or doing some other things in case there's an emergency on the house, like you need a new boiler. So with those numbers speaking very, very well, I don't see how you could have a recession in the near future. So I just think that this is going to be a great, great year for us so far.
Two quickies from me before we let you go, Craig. You know, you mentioned Brexit. Theresa May, Prime Minister over there, will return to Parliament today to lay out her fallback plan, I guess. I mean, she's caught in a web of domestic politics and facing the clock now to get a deal okay by the UK lawmakers, European Union leaders, before the deadline, the end of March, I think it's the 29th of March, for the UK to leave the EU. I think that will be fascinating. How that comes into play. And the other thing was, you know, you had this World Economic Forum that was opening in Davos, you know, where you have a few thousand of the world's richest, most influential people gather. That would start tomorrow. You talk about a high-powered networking event of the utmost proportions that's going to take place. Of course, the president canceling his trip over the partial shutdown. Any ramifications from that, you think? The president nor representatives from the U.S. will be in Davos, and your take, of course, on Brexit.
Okay, so those are two big questions. Brexit, in terms of we do trade with China. The first deal that broke through that Theresa May did not get, did not get through, but she survived a no confidence vote. So with that deal said, it really wasn't allowing Britain to trade with the United States. So I was kind of happy when it didn't go through. It was sort of a soft Brexit. So there's hardliners that just want to do a clean break, and then there's a bunch of people that want to stay in the EU. So so that's what you're there. So she's got to come back with something a little stronger. And Germany signaled to them that it's okay to go back and negotiate. So before they said, no, you can't negotiate. This is the deal. So when they saw that she was having a tough time, they opened up the door again to negotiate. So I think that'll eventually work itself out. And on the second note on Davos, you know, I don't know. Davos is something, you know, we'd always watch the news coverage, all these great leaders coming together. I think the current president thought it wasn't a good idea to go to begin with, but he was going as a sort of an honor. And I think that, what are they doing there? What's the point? Why are we spending our government's money going there? What is it that's happening there that he can't do somewhere else? It's also part of this EU type of experience, you know, and I don't think that's really boding well for our country, or at least the direction that the president is. So economically, which is what I'm concerned about, what investors are concerned about, I don't know how much of a difference it had. It was just a lot of photo opportunities with some great people. I remember last year they had, I actually have a picture from a couple of years ago at Davos, and most of those leaders are gone. It's like there's five people in a room and four of them are gone. They were voted out, the French president. I mean, you just go around the whole group there, so including England. My thoughts are, I don't think it does much for the economy, so I'm not that interested in it. My personal thoughts are, well, you know, why are we going there? So there you go.
Yep, good point. No question. Craig, great stuff. Certified wealth strategist, president of the Craig James Financial Services, 393-2888, 631-393-2888, and you can check it all out on the site, longislandinvestmentadvisors.com. Stay warm, my friend, and we'll talk to you again next Monday. How's that?
Thank you, Jay. Have a good week.